morning. Today's daf in Chulin is Samech Hay. We are on the very top of the Amud. We're starting today at the two dots of Amr Chacham and Kol Of. And one topic in the course of today's daf. Well, we're just, two topics, but one main topic in today's daf in terms of real estate, and that is grasshoppers. But before we do the grasshoppers of Amr Chacham and Kol Of, Tanya the Gemara here is going to quote a brisa. We're just going to go right into the brisa. I mean, Gamliel Omer, Doris Vauchel, Biadushu Tame. Doris Vauchel, if the bird is a Doris, so if it's a predatory bird, so you know at that point in time, that's going to be Tame. And as we already discussed this numerous times, when it comes to a bird, there are four Simani Tahara. There are four ways of indicating whether the bird is kosher or not kosher. One of them is a behavioral simon, and the other three are anatomical. So as we discussed previously, and it seems pretty clear from the Gemara over here, that when it comes to the behavioral simon of being a predatory bird, so the Gemara says that at that point in time, once it's a Doris, that's it, meaning it's not kosher. So yesh lo etzba yisera v'zevek v'karkavon niklof b'yadush utar. However, if it has an etzba yisera, if it has the extra claw, we discussed this already a number of times, and if it has the craft, and if the gizzard can be peeled, so b'yadush utar, at that point in time, you know that it's a kosher bird. Rabbi Lazar, not clear from the brisa.
Not clear from the Brisa.
Right, I hear you. I don't know. I assume like that as well. I know. Rabbi Loz, Rabbi Tzedek Omer, Moskan lo chutshal shamashicha, im cholak is raglav shtayim lakan, tamei, shol shakan v'achaz akan tahor. What you're going to do, again, we discussed this earlier, but the Gemara is quoting the Brisa now is citing, recounting all these various opinions. So over here, if you take out a string and you see now how the bird perches on the string, assuming that the bird's got four toes, if two go in the front and two go in the back, that is a siman of a non-kosher bird. If three go in the front and one go in the back, it's a siman of a kosher bird. Rabbi Shimon Melazar Amar Kol Ofa Kolei Mina Avir Tameh. If a bird is going to catch its food while in flight, so it's going to be Tameh. So the Gemara says, wait one second, Siparta, nami mikla kalta. What do you mean that Siparta, now the Siparta, popular bird back in the day, kosher bird, and meanwhile it exhibits this behavior of catching its food while flying. Amar Abai, koleva ochel miklat kalta. So, I'm sorry, koleva ochel kamrinan. It catches and it eats, meaning the fact that it catches its food or its prey, that's not a big deal. It catches and it eats while flying, that's a big deal, that's a simon, that's not kosher. And finally, shachin im tameim tameh, im taharim tahor. And the end of the braisa says, well, see who it hangs out with. If it hangs out with a bad crowd, it's a bad bird. And if it hangs out with a good crowd, it's a good bird. And keman kerebi Eliezer, now this should sound familiar. This last line of the braisa is going in synchronicity together with the opinion of Rebbe Eliezer. Detanya, the Gemara quotes, Rebbe Lazar Omer, lo lechinam alach zazir, etzo orev. We saw this Gemara before. Now, it happens to be that we saw it in Rashi, but now we're seeing it in the Gemara itself. And this Gemara is also repeated in Baba Kama. Do you know that the Zarir and the Ariv hang out together? Now, we know the Ariv is a non-kosher bird. It's one of the 20 that are listed in Vayikra, one of the 21 that are listed in Devarim. We know it's not kosher. And you know that you'll see the Zarzir, which is some other species, but it's always hanging out with the Ariv. Do you know why? El Mimeshumi, no. Because the Zarzir, even though it physically may not look like the Arev, but since it always is going to be migrating together with the Arev, it is a subspecies of the Arev. So it sounds like now the end of the brace is going like Rabbi Eliezer. The Gemara is slightly uncomfortable with that. Yeah, having the end of the brace going like the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, meaning Rabbi Eliezer is a Shitas Yachid, he's a Shmuti. So the Gemara says, no, Afilu Timur Rabbanan, Shachim V'nid Makamrinan. The end of the brisa could in fact be going like the chachamim, meaning that the end of the brisa, which made the point that if it hangs with the other birds, it has the status of the other birds. It's not just simply a function of who it hangs out with, but also nidma as well, appearance-wise, also looks the same. Then it's a subspecies, and so the end of the brisa is not necessarily going like Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, Adkan, that takes us now to the next section of the Gemara. And let's refresh what we learned just about a week ago. The Mishnah back on Nuntes gave us all the simanim of what makes a kosher animal and what makes not and what does not make a kosher animal. As far as the behemah chai are concerned, so the Mishnah says, open up a chumash and read the Torah, and you'll know what the simanim are for an animal. As far as an oaf is concerned, a bird, so one, we just went over it again. One behavioral identifier, whether it's a doris or an eno doris, and three anatomical identifiers, etzba yisera, zefek, and korkavono niklaf. We discussed this already at length. Then the Mishnah brought in the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok, in terms of how it splits its feet when it perches on a string. Good. And then the Mishnah takes us down to the Chag Avim. And we are now going to be spending the rest of today's daf and a portion of tomorrow's daf going over grasshoppers. So you're going to get this here and only here. Well, that's not true. Anywhere they're doing the daf. You're going to get this discussion of grasshopper talk. Good grasshopper talk. As far as what the simanim are, well, let's start here. Let's open to the Torah and let's see the psukim inside in the Torah. So I'm going to go to Vayikra, and we're going to be assessing the psukim in Vayikra regarding a grasshopper. As we already have mentioned, just to repeat, when it comes to Behem and Chaya, the Torah gives us a simanim. Split hooves, choose its cut. As far as birds are concerned, there are no simanim for the birds. The Torah just simply identifies which birds we're not allowed to eat. As far as the fish are concerned, which is coming up in tomorrow's daf, so the Gemara gives us simanim. Fins and scales. I just took fins and scales and made it one word. So fins and scales. And then the Chagavim. Now the Chagavim in the Torah itself comes after the birds. Meaning in the Torah, in Parshas Vayikra, the order is animals, fish, birds, and insects. An interesting order, right? Whatever the case is. So as far as the insects are concerned, so the Torah says like this. It starts in Pasuk Chaf, Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Chaf. Kol Sheretz Ha'Of Alech Al Arba Sheketzu Lachem. So the starting point is that if you have a sheretz or some sort of insect that flies around, so no good, you can't eat it. But then Ach, that's the beginning of Pasuk Chaf Aleph. So the Torah now says, but there are some insects that you're allowed to eat. It has to have four legs, right? That's the ha'olech al arba. It has to have asher lo karayim ima'al l'raglav. Two, we're going to call them jumping legs. Es elam en tochelu. And then the Torah goes on to describe which ones we're allowed to eat. Es ha'arbe lemino, you're allowed to eat the arbe. Es ha'salam lemineu, salam as well. Es ha'chargol lemineu, ves ha'chagav lemineu. And then the Torah repeats, v'chol sheretz ha'of asher lo arba raglaim sheketzu lachem. But the rest of them, one is not allowed to eat. Okay. Good. Those are the psukim regarding the sheretz. I'm going to come back to the chumash in just a moment. So, from the Chumash's perspective, does the Torah give us characteristics, or does the Torah identify which ones we're allowed to eat? And the answer to that question, as we just read the Pesukim, is both. Unlike the animals, where the Torah gives us characteristics, and the fish, where the Torah gives us characteristics, and the bird, which the Torah just simply identifies which birds we're not allowed to eat, when it comes to the grasshoppers, elu ve'elu, the Torah both gives us characteristics, and the Torah also identifies which grasshoppers were, in fact, allowed to eat. And we're going to go back to a rule that we learned in the Gemara just yesterday, which is that if which one does the Torah identify? The one that's less. Meaning, by birds, there are more kosher birds than non-kosher birds, so that's why the Torah teaches us the non-kosher birds. By grasshoppers, there must be more non-kosher grasshoppers because the Torah is telling us which grasshoppers we're allowed to eat. Right? That's the Gemara in yesterday's daf. That when you're teaching Le'olam Yishana Adam Derech Ketzara, teach it the most succinct way possible. Good. That's the Torah Shebichsav. Now we turn to the Torah Shebaal Peh. The Mishnah Mekan Nuntes also identifies the grasshoppers, which we can eat, which we cannot. And the Mishnah taught us that there are four characteristics to look for in a grasshopper. And I'm going back to the Mishnah Nuntes, and I'm just reviewing. Uvechagavim, now when it comes to the grasshoppers, Koshesh Lo Arba Reglaim, it's got four legs. Arba kenafayim, four wings, which, interesting, by the way, is not mentioned in the Torah. Kartzulayim, the jumping legs, and kenafav chofim misrubo. And the wings have to be covering the majority of the body of the grasshopper. And Rabbi Yossi Omer, now in the Mishnah, sounds like he's another opinion. Maybe, maybe not. But whatever the case is, Rabbi Yossi Omer, ushmo chagav. And it also has to be under the general category of chagav. Okay. Ad kan divrei Mishnah, that is the end of the Mishnah. So now, in terms of if you want to eat a grasshopper, so what do? So you go through the Pesukim and the Torah that we just went through. You go through the Torah Shabbat, the Mishnah that we just went through. And lo and behold, there you are with the ability now to identify which grasshoppers you can eat and which ones you cannot eat. So as I'm sure everybody here knows, we don't eat grasshoppers nowadays. Now it happens to be culturally, none of us are interested. It's not a common dish. Not only do the Jews not eat it, non-Jews also are not that interested here in the Western Hemisphere. And it's not just simply part of our diet. So the truth of the matter is that most of all this is going to be academic. Most of us are simply not interested in it. But going back some times ago, so already many, many years ago, we lost a tradition about eating the grasshopper. In fact, Rashi and Chumash, I'm going to go back to the Chumash going to Rashi. Rashi and Chumash already records, we don't eat grasshoppers anymore. Rashi writes, on Pasuk Chaf Aleph, I'm reading the Rashi on Chumash. V'yesh me'em harbe kosam shikarin len gucha, or, okay, you'll forgive my pronunciation of the old French. Aval ein anu bikin bahen. Rashi says we just simply don't know. Sha'arba simani tahara nemru bahem. There are four signs of what identifies a kosher grasshopper. Rashi obviously is referring to our Mishnah. Arba raglaim v'arba kanafayim v'kar sulim. It's got to have four legs, four wings. It's got to have the jumping legs. Eilu kara'im aksuvim kan. And that, by the way, Rashi says, are the kara'im that are mentioned in the Torah. Uchanafav chofin nesarubo. And you need the wings to cover the majority of its body. As per the Mishnah in Chulin and Daf Nun Tes, which we just reviewed, and basically Rashi says, take a look at any grasshopper we have nowadays here, and you'll see that they have these characteristics. Aval yesh shirosh anaruch, v'yesh she'ein lahem zanav, v'tzarech she'yesh shmo chagav. However, there are those who have an elongated head, there are those that have a tail, it has to have the name chagav. And at that point in time, Rashi says it becomes much of a guessing game. We don't know. Elongated head versus non-elongated head. Tail or not a tail. Its name is Chagav or its name is not Chagav. These characteristics, which by the way, Rashi is making reference to our daf today, which we're about to learn. So we're not sure about so many of these things. We no longer have a minug to eat the Chagavim. Okay. And so it is, by the way. Ashkenazim, Sfardim, none of us no longer have a minhag to eat them. It's been reported to me many times. The Tamani Jews from Yemen, so they did still eat grasshoppers pretty recently. But again, academic point as far as I'm concerned, right? It just none of us are that particularly interested. But in the meanwhile, though, it's still Chefsa Shotara. So for the next little bit as we go through today's daf, so it's all part and parcel of Torah. So we get schar limud for every line of Gemara that we learn, even though this is not going to be incorporated into our diet. So let us now continue where we left off on Samach Amud Aleph. We're more than halfway down on the Amud. We're at the two dots. Uvechagavim koshiyeshlo. So my rubo. So we said that the wings have to cover the majority of its body. Now, when talking about the body of a grasshopper, so we can go in one of two directions. We can go along its length, or we could basically go around its width or its circumference, right? I mean the same by that. So when we say that the wings have to cover the majority of the body, are we going from head to toe, from head to tail, or are we talking about its circumference around its body? And the Gemara asks exactly that question. My rubo, am rav yura marav rav orko, v'amila rav hekefo. So we have two versions of Rav Yehuda, exactly these two versions of what the wings have to cover, from head to tail, or the majority of its circumference. So Amar Rav Papa, Eukach Bina Rav Okar Bina Rav Akefo. So Rav Papa says, as a result of these two girsos that we have of Rav Yehuda, these two misravers that we have, so Lahalacha, you need both. Good. Tana Rabbanan. And here now comes the heavy lifting of today's daf. Okay, this is going to be very heavy lifting. Okay, but obviously I'll try to the best of my ability to present this as clearly as possible. And now what we're going to begin discussing in the Gemara is going to be classic discussion of how to understand the psukim using the midah she'atar nidrashes bahem. We know that we're never given these this sequence of psukim, so we have now walked into what is classically known as a klal uprat. The Torah gives us a general rule of the grasshoppers that we can eat. The Torah gives us identifiers in terms of how to identify. And then the Torah gives us specific examples of here are four grasshoppers that you're allowed to eat. And so what we have in front of us is the classic klal uprat. And as we're going to learn in just a moment, it could also be klal uprat or klal. But that's coming up a little bit later. But in the meantime, however, let's just start with assuming that it's a klal uprat. Now, we know the rule is klal uprat. Whenever the Torah introduces us to a generality followed by something which is specific, so the way to understand it is that the Ein Shebeklal Elamah Shebeprat, you know what the specific is? That's it. Meaning even though the Torah opens up with a more general position of here are all the grasshoppers you can eat, as long as they have these characteristics, but then the Torah goes on to give us specific examples. And they are not just simply examples, that's it. These are the grasshoppers you can eat. And so one way to understand these psukim is it's klal uprat, and that is the way we're going to first see it in the first brisa on as we start the next piece of Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan. Ein lo achshav asid lagadol. Sorry, not yet. One more brisa we need to go through. Sorry, I introduced it one spot too early, one station too early. Take everything I say. It's all correct. Just hold on to that thought for just a moment. Let's say the grasshopper's jumping legs are not there at birth. Let's say at its very early stages of development, it does not yet have the jumping legs, and that's only going to be coming after some time. No problem. It's still going to be a kosher grasshopper. The Gemara gives the example like the zachal. That's fine. And it's going to be mutter. Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Yossi, Omer, Asher lo karayim, afa pi she'ein lo achshav, asid lagadel la'acher zman. And Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Yossi arrives at the same exact conclusion. Actually, he bases it on the pasuk itself. If you look in the pasuk, the Torah says, asher lo karayim. Now, how do you pronounce that word lo? There's no debate. We all know how to pronounce it. How is it spelled? Oh. So, in the Torah, it is spelled Lamed Aleph. Meanwhile, we have a Kri. Now, this is interesting because the Ksiv and the Kri are pronounced the same. But we have a Kri in which it's Lamed Vav. In the Chumash itself, right, you have a little circle to the margin, and it says Lamed Vav Kri. It's read Lamed Vav. Now, right, from a phonetic standpoint, there's no difference. But still, lo with a lamed aleph, lo lamed vav. Right? We have it a couple times in the Chumash. Another place I could think of is asher lo choma. Right? It has a wall, and there, again, lamed vav, lamed aleph. That first daf in Megillah goes and discusses how that would affect the halachas of bate ari choma and purim. Good. So over here, asher lo kara'ayim, so it does not have the jumping legs. What does that mean? Alpha Pishay and Lo Akshav, it doesn't have it currently. The Asid Legadel Achrasman, but it's going to have it. So the so that would be an acceptable grasshopper. So it's interesting, by the way, in this Brisa, the Tanakama and Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Yossi are arriving at this exact same conclusion. It's just that Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Yossi is using a drasha to arrive at that conclusion. So is there a difference between the two positions? Maybe, but the Gemara does not elaborate. So my zachal amar abaye iskrin. And just as a little help towards the Jews living in Bavel circa 3rd century, so Abaye says that the Zachal could be the Iskrin. Okay, good. That was helpful for that population. Not so much for us. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. We are now towards the bottom of the Amud, first wide line. And now go back to what I said just a couple moments earlier. The way to understand the Pesukim, let's say right now, is Klal Uprat. Now, Tanu Rabbanan. So these are them you're allowed to eat. So we are understanding at this point in time that the Torah gave us a klal, a generality. Here are the grasshoppers you can eat and characteristics. And then the Torah goes on to specifics. And we're going to now cover every one of the four grasshoppers mentioned in the Torah. Arba zeguvai, salam zerishun, chargol zenipul, and chagav zegidian. Good. So now what the Gemara has done for us is it's given us the Aramaic translations of the grasshoppers of the Torah. Wonderful. Ma tamalamar limino, liminehu, liminehu, liminehu. Dalet pa'amim. But you'll notice, of course, that in the Torah, it doesn't just simply give us the name of a grasshopper, but after every one of them, it says either limino or liminehu. After the arbe, it says limino. After the salam chargal and chagav, it says liminehu. And that obviously is there to tell us that others as well. So lahavi, tsiporis, kramim, viyuchna, yerushamis, veha'artsuvya, veha'zavnis. And it comes to include these particular grasshoppers as well, which are all sharing the same characteristics as the ones that are mentioned in the Torah. Okay. Adkan, that takes us now to the end of the first brisa. And so the end of the first brisa now, let us call it, because I'm using the terminology the Gemara is going to use a little bit later on, let's call it Tana Debei Rav. Now Tana Debei Rav, really the truth of the matter is, what is it? It's a Sifra. It's Torah's Kohanim. Right? We know that there's Medrash Halacha on Vayikra, on Shmos, on Vayikra, and on Bamidbar Dvarim. So the Medrash Halacha on Shmos is Mechilta. The Medrash Halacha on Vayikra is called Sifra, sometimes also called Torah's Kohanim. And the Medrash Halacha on Bamidbar and Dvarim is called Sifrei. So this is really Sifra, it's Torah's Kohanim. The Gemara later on, at the end of the daf today, is going to refer to this as Tana Debei Rav. Okay, and I'll show you a Rashi later on, why in fact they called it Tana Debei Rav. Okay, right? Nothing, according to Rashi, nothing to do with the Amora Rav. It's not, in other words, it's Medrash Halacha is already at the time of the Tanaim. It was recorded already, it was written down at the time of the Tanaim. So later on, we'll go through the Rashi together, why it was called Tana Debei Rav. And the Gemara is going to say this later on very clearly, I'll say it now, and that is that the way Tana Debei Rav understood the Pesukim, Klal Uprat, period. And even though the Torah says, Limino, Limineo, 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 so that just simply means that the examples that are given in the Torah, if you have a grasshopper that looks exactly like the grasshoppers mentioned in the Torah, you're good to go. But that's it. Meaning, there is no room for any kind of expansion whatsoever. Because it's Klal Uprat. Meaning, it's the generality followed exactly by the specifics. And so therefore, even though at the end of this brisa, it recorded a couple of other grasshoppers, four other grasshoppers that you're allowed to eat, it's only because these four other grasshoppers exhibit the same exact qualities as the ones that are identified in the Torah. Good. Debei Rabbi Yishmael Tana, and here now we start with brisa number two. And in brisa number two, so the way the brisa number two is going to understand it, by the way, it's Tana Debei Rabbi Yishmael, meaning it's Rabbi Yishmael's brisa. But in this brisa, the way we're going to understand it is that it's klal uprat uklal. It is generality followed by specific, followed then by generality. And just as a general overview, whenever you have klal uprat uklal, so what does that mean? So we know. So it's ke'ein haprat. What it means is as follows. The examples that are given in the Torah are just that. They're examples. Meaning, but what we can do is we can actually take out the common characteristics that are shared by the examples, and any other grasshopper that shares these characteristics, even though they are not identical to the exact characteristics of the grasshoppers mentioned in the Torah, that would be enough. So as long as they have shared characteristics, so then that would be good enough. And so that obviously means then that we're going to broaden the net. We're going to expand the net in terms of which grasshoppers were, in fact, allowed to eat. Let's take a look together at the second brisa. Tana Rabban, I'm sorry. Debei Rabbi Yishmael Tanu, Eila klale klalos, ve'ele parte pratos. Okay. Now, I know the way the Gemara formulates this is a little bit strange. It's a little bit unusual. But again, I know the Gemara coming up. I also know the Rashi over here. It's klal uprat uklal. Let's take a look at let's continue. Arba zugubai. The arba is a reference to the gubai. Lemino, and when the Torah says lemino, so what is that coming to include? Lahavi tzipores kramim. It comes to include the tzipores kramim. Now, it's a type of grasshopper, and it's not bald. Now, I know it's, in terms of baldness of grasshoppers, what does that mean? It doesn't exactly have a patch of hair on the top of its head. But yeah, there are some pictures. You can take a look at some of the pictures. So it's got like little antennas coming out of its head. That's a non-bald grasshopper. No antennas at the top of its head. Considered a bald grasshopper. So the arbe and the tziporus karamim that we just identified, so it has the small antennas. So good. So ainli ala haba. So far, what do I have? I have a grasshopper that has the shared characteristics that we mentioned in the Mishnah. Again, four legs, two jumping legs, wings that cover the majority of its body, four wings, and the wings cover the majority of the body. Right? Four common characteristics of all four grasshoppers that are mentioned in the Torah. So, ein li ala haba, ve'ein lo gabacha. So far, by the Torah's mention of the first of the grasshoppers, the arbe, I now know that it has to have the four characteristics and not being bald. So, however, habavi yeshal gabachas minayin. From where do I know that if it shares the four characteristics and it's bald, how do I know that such a grasshopper would be kosher? Tamalam or salam. So that brings us now to the next grasshopper that's mentioned in the Torah, and that is the salam. So zenipul, and that's a reference to the nipul, which, by the way, we already identified earlier. Limineo lavi es ha ushkaf. And the limineo is coming to include also the ushkaf as well. Another grasshopper that happens to be bald, and it too would be okay. V'einli ale habavi einlo gabachas, habavi yeshlo gabachas. So far, what have we included? Grasshoppers have the four shared characteristics of our Mishnah, plus we also now included whether it's bald or whether it's not bald. Habavi einlo zanav, habavi yeshlo zanav minayin. How do I know that whether it has a tail or it does not have a tail? How do I know that that is not going to be a deciding factor of whether it's kosher or not kosher? Tamar lomar chargol. Ze rishun. So the Torah now points to the chargol. The chargol also happens to be the rishun. Now the chargol, in fact, does have a tail, as does the rishun. Limineo lavi es ha kar sepes. Ve es ha shal shachlanis. So, and it includes other grasshoppers as well, which again, have the four characteristics and also have a tail. V'ein li ala haba v'ein lo gabachas, haba v'yesh lo gabachas, haba v'ein lo zanav, haba v'yesh lo zanav. So far, we've covered now grasshoppers, and we have learned that antennas on its head or non-antennas is not significant. Tail or no tail is not significant. Haba v'ein rosho aruch, haba v'rosho aruch minayin. How do I know about the grasshoppers that have an elongated head? The grasshoppers up until now have a more rounded shaped head. Now, I'm not speaking from any kind of experience. In other words, I'm just simply working with what the Gemara's assumptions. Good. So how do I know if it has an elongated head? Amart hare ata dan binyan av mishloshtam. So the Gemara says, well, let's take a look at the grasshoppers we mentioned so far. So far, we have the arbe, the salam, and the chargol. So, lo ri arba kari achargol, v'lo ri chargol kari arba, v'lo ri ishtem kari salam. Now again, there are different physical characteristics of these. V'lo ri salam kari shneihem, atzad ha'shavah shebehem. What is the common characteristic? Sheyesh lo dalad raglayim, v'arba kanafayim, v'kartzulayim, u'chanafav chofim esrubo. So, first of all, they all share the four common characteristics. They have four legs, they have four wings, they have the two jumping legs, and they have the wings covering the majority of their body. Av kol sheyeshlo, arba raglayim v'arba kanafayim v'kartzulayim v'chanafav chofim esrubo. And therefore, any other grasshopper that shares these four characteristics. Now, the v'halo atzir tzur hazeh yeshlo arba raglayim v'dal kanafayim v'kartzulayim v'chanafav chofim esrubo. So the Gemara says, what about the tzartzur? So the tzartzur is a quasi-grasshopper. Okay, again, can help you in terms of what actually it is, but whatever it is something that has these characteristics. So yachol, yehei, mutter. So I might have thought that at this point in time it should be permissible. So tamalamar chagav sheshmo chagav. So that is where the Torah now introduces us to the fourth grasshopper, and that is chagav, which means that it has to fall under the general rule of chagav. So interesting, according to Tanya Bei Rabbi Shmuel, the first three grasshoppers identified in the Torah, arbe, salam, chargol, are all examples in which we get to pluck out common characteristics. The fourth grasshopper of the Torah, the Chagav, that's there to give us more of the broader category. It has to fit under the broad category of Chagav, meaning what we're learning together now is that Chagav is basically not a specific grasshopper, although it may be, but the word Chagav is the more general category of grasshoppers in total, like a genus, if you will, of grasshoppers. And so therefore, it has to fall under the more general category of Chagav. So Ishmael Chagav Yachol Embo Kol Simanim Halalu. So the Gemara says, fine. So Chagav, right? That's enough. It's not enough. Tam Lamer Limineu Ashiebo Kol Simanim Halalu. It has to be Chagav, and it also has to have the common characteristics that we just identified. Four legs, two jumping legs, four wings, and the wings covering the majority of its body. Ad Kan Divrei Habraisa. That was a mouthful, I know, that was a lot. But that brings us to the end. That brings us to the end of the Braisa. And so therefore, what do we have? We have so far now in front of us two Braisas. Tan de Bei Rav, that was the first Braisa, which was Klal Uprat. And now Tan de Bei Rabbi Shmuel, which we just learned together, which understands it as Klal Uprat Uklal. Now, what was a little bit troubling at the end of the Braisa is the Braisa left us off, but somewhat unsatisfied. Because the end of the Braisa said, how do I know if it's a grasshopper that has an elongated head? So the Gemara says, well, take a look at the three that are that the Torah mentioned. The Arba, the Salam, and the Chargol. Well, you know that they're not all the same. So what we're going to do is we're going to sift through the common characteristics. And therefore, we are there to also include a grasshopper with an elongated head. Parich Rav Achai. So the Gemara now quotes Rav Achai. Man lahanach shekein ein rosha aruch. So Rav Achai says, I'm scratching my head. I say that with pun intended. I'm scratching my head. I don't understand what just happened in that Braisa. What an awkward conclusion. The Braisa said, how do I know that a grasshopper with an elongated head is good? Because take a look at the examples. Rav Achai says, I am looking at the examples. The three grasshoppers that we just identified, none of them have an elongated head. And the Braisa said, and therefore what do you see? You see that you can even eat a grasshopper with an elongated head. How did you get there? How did the Braisa arrive at that conclusion when all three of these grasshoppers do not have an elongated head? That's strange. So malahanach shekein ein rosha aruch v'chitim akev deshavu b'dal tzimanim ma'isinan v'lo parchinan. So the Gemara says, well, maybe they're just, in other words, all we need are just the four common characteristics, and that would be enough. So the Gemara says, well, I don't understand. Well, you have the chargol. The chargol is similar in the four characteristics. You know what? The Torah didn't even have to mention the word chargol. Meaning, if all the Torah would have just given it was arben salam, we would have been good. So the Gemara says, but clearly what was the purpose of the chargol? Well, you know, the other ones don't have a zanav. The chargol does have a zanav. So, but in other words, the Torah had to include chargol, because without the inclusion of chargol, I would have said it only would have been limited to the grasshoppers that don't have a tail. So by including chargol, we are thereby introducing us to the idea that tail is not significant. Oh, so you see that in order for there to be a clear indication that that particular detail is not significant, I need a specific example of a grasshopper that doesn't have that characteristic. So if elongated head is not important, so the Torah should have introduced us to a grasshopper that does not have an elongated head. By virtue of the fact that all three that are mentioned over here, the Arbe, the Chargol, the Sal'am, by virtue of the fact that all three of them do not have an elongated head, sounds like that's important. So to which the Gemara says, Ela, I'm Rav Achai. So in solution to this, Rav Achai suggests the following. Sal'am Yaseirahu. The truth of the matter is that if the Torah wanted to introduce us to all this information, the Torah could have just simply said, the Arba and the Chargol, Salam was not necessary. Why? Because Olicht v'Rechman Salam v'Tesim Arba v'Chargol. So really, all this information could have just arrived to us through the mentioning of just the Arba and the Chargol. How so? Demai Parachta. Ma la Arba de'en lo gabachas. right? What about the Arbed does not have a bald head? Hare chargol yesh lo gabachas. Don't worry, the chargol does have antennas. I'm sorry, does not have antennas. It's bald. Mala chargol yesh lo zanav. Ah, the chargol has a tail. Hare Arbed ain lo zanav. Don't worry, the Arbed does not have a tail. So, really, the truth of the matter is that if I just had Arbed and I just had chargol, that would have been enough to show us that antennas on its head is not significant, tail on its back is not significant. And so therefore, wait. So therefore, those are the only two in which we would have arrived at the conclusion that these two characteristics are not significant, and we would have arrived at all the information that the Bryce introduced us to. So the truth of the matter is, says Rav Achai, now again, this is Rav Achai, he's not amending the Brysa. He's just helping us understand better where the Brysa is deriving all of its information from. So what comes out now is that really Salam is extra. So now that Salam is extra, Salam dekas rachman alam ali, im eino inyan legufo, teneu inyan lerosho aruch. By virtue of the fact that Salam now is totally extraneous, so therefore it's there to be able to teach us another detail, admittedly, not related to the Salam directly, obviously indirectly. That's the idea of im eino inyan legufo. If it's not there for its direct point, it's there for an indirect point. Notably, that the head does not have to be round. The head can be elongated, and that would be okay. Ad kan. That takes us now to the end of the second braisa, Tandaber Yishmal, together with Rav Achai's clarification of the second braisa. What we have over here, Danny, I'm sorry, just give me one second. What we have over here now in really most of today's daf are two braisas. The first braisa, understanding the psukim in Vayikra as being klal uprat, Rabbi Shmuel understanding as being klal uprat or klal. Now, they're not only having a machlokis in fundamentals of how to understand and how to darshan the psukim, but there are going to be obviously practical differences between them. As we turn to the top of Samach Vav Amud Aleph, B'maikav Miflugi. So what is the Nekuda Machlokas now between them? Tanda Be Rav, Tanda Be Rabbi Shmuel, Be Rosho Aruch Kamiflugi. So what's going to come out now is the question of Rosho Aruch with the elongated head. Tanda Be Rav Savar Asher Lo Karayim Klal, Arbe, Salam, Chargol, Chagav, Leminehu, Prat. Klal uprat, ein bechlal, elamasha beprat. Dimine in, delav dimine lo. Umarbi de damila, mishneit stadim. So the way that the Tana de Beirav, that's the first Tana, the way he understands it, it's all klal uprat. The Torah opens up with the generality of these are the grasshoppers you can eat, follow them by the specific examples, and that's it. Now the door is shut. The only grasshoppers we can eat are those that are exactly like the specific examples that are given. Aside from the four characteristics, the four common characteristics, you can only eat grasshoppers that mimic and reflect the characteristics of the four examples exactly. However, elongated head, which none of them have, cannot be consumed. Tana de Rabbi Shmuel Savar Asher Lo Karayim Klal. Arbe Salam. Chargol chagav prat. Liminehu chazar uklal. So we have now, according to Tanya Bar Rabbi Shmuel, the klal, followed by the examples, followed by the words liminehu. And that liminehu is actually now there to regroup and give us a second klal. Klal uprat uklal. Iyatadan elakeena prat. Umar be called the damile bechadsad. And now all I need in order for the grasshopper to be kosher is that it just simply needs to share the common characteristics, and that's it. Four legs, four wings, two jumping legs, the wings covering the majority of its body. That's all I need in order for the grasshopper to be kosher. Even if it has an elongated. And even with an elongated head, it would be fine. Good. One Rashi, just to finish up, to wrap up. I know where we're.
If the round, why can't you say that? Why do you need four examples? If they're all exactly round,
all right,
maybe
right. Listen, Rabbi Achai was asking a very similar question. I just want to end up on one point. The first braisa is called Tan Debei Rav. Really interesting Rashi over here. Second Rashi on Samach Vav Amnalev, Rashi writes, Kari Lebraisa Kamaisa, Shishnui Betoros Kohanim, De Mikre Sifra Debei Rav. Right? The first braisa of this morning, which is taught in Toros Kohanim, it's also referred to as Sifra Debei Rav. Now, why is it referred to as Sifra Debei Rav? Really interesting Rashi. This was the popular Medrash on Vayikra. I say popular amongst all the Bate Medrashim. So you go to your traditional base Medrash, anywhere in Bavel, and what Tarsha Bapeh are they going to be learning on Sefer Vayikra? They're going to be learning what we refer to as Taras Kohanim, right? Right, and that's why it's called Sifra Debei Rav. Debei Rav Lefisha Yashugar Bebeis Medrash Befi Kulam. Ava Breisa De Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel Lo Haisa Shigura Ela Befi Tamidav. What about Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel? Interesting, says Rashi. So that was in-house. That particular Breisa was taught amongst the Talmidim of Rabbi Shmuel and only amongst the Talmidim of Rabbi Shmuel, and so it didn't have that kind of popularity. Bechananya Ben Akash.